tonight. So, there's about, I think, about even more than I had listed in the first handout the very first Sunday evening. I think I listed about 36 for you in the handout, but there's really more than that. So we certainly have enough material. So this evening, we're just going to look at two different places for the lesson on one another. So I just put in your titles to highlight just a couple of the thoughts that are presented. We need to care and serve one another, but I just titled it, Don't Bite. Care and serve, but don't bite. Now here are six more on one another actions and attitudes that we as God's people need to employ in our lives, in our relationships one with another. So you can kind of look down through the list. The first one, have the same care one for another. Then by love, serve one another. Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Don't become vainglorious or have self-conceit. Not provoking one another and not envying one another. So those are the six that we'll have listed in our lesson this evening. First one in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. There should be no schism or division or factions in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now I'll read the verse in its entirety. I know in your notes, I just put the emphasis on the phrase one another. But again, Paul takes us back to the illustration of a physical body, one that we readily recognize, and one that we can certainly see the illustration of. So we noticed that with one body part hurts, a lot of times the whole body is affected. For example, you walk around and you stub your toe, I mean, the face makes different. He has different features, and there might even be a sound or two, and the body crumples up, and all you did was stub a little bitty toe. But the whole body, it gained the attention of the whole body. And that's what Paul is illustrating here. He said there shouldn't be any division or factions in the body. Every member should have the same care one for another. Every member. That's the challenge. Every member. You know, I like to use definitions in my sermons. A couple reasons. Not only do I want to make sure we all understand the word alike, but many times the synonyms or the definition also gives us the application of the verse itself too. So we don't have to make a whole lot of comments. Just look at all the words associated with that word. So the same thing when you look at the word one another. Well, you put it in your notes, that's all of us. Every one of us. So none are to be left out. Everybody needs some attention. Even if I can't give everybody the same attention, but we want to make sure that everybody gets attention. Depending on when we talk together after our amen at the close, sometimes we can't talk to everybody, but typically we stand up and turn around and we greet those that are close to us. Same way we mentioned last week's lesson, even when I'm standing at the door, people slip out behind me. They don't want to greet me, maybe. But they just walk on by. So I try. The same way when we have care one for another, we just need to be sure who are you cared for? Now, even if everybody didn't care for you, but were you cared for? Hopefully the answer is yes. You were cared for. And it's the idea of a saying. We need to care for everyone alike, identical, similar, equal, the absence of any difference. Care for everybody alike. And then care. You know, to be attentive to means to look out for the safety and the well-being of another. We want people to know, I care. There's concern. I need to know what I can do for you. In the dictionary, one word definition for the word care was nurse. When you're hospitalized or you need care and someone that's giving attention to you, it is a nurse. You know, you hope they fulfill that obligation, the definition of that word. That truly I am being nursed when I hurt. It means if you care, you treat according to the need. I like that definition. Make sure you're giving me what I need and not something different. It means attend to. The opposite of care is neglect. That kind of helps us get a picture of that. What does it mean to have the same care for one another? Make sure no one's neglected. And now, even in society, we recognize, this is on your notes, but even in society, we recognize this requirement. Just society, without the idea of God, many people want to care for others. So we even have in our society an urgent care. We have ready care. We have we care groups. There's Medicare, caregivers. And even a hospital, if it requires more care, there's intensive care units. I remember a story a while back. There was a skier for USA in the Olympics, probably back in the 90s. Her name was Peekaboo Street. Odd name, but her name was Peekaboo Street. And she had gained some fame and no doubt some wealth, so she made a huge donation to the hospital in Denver where she lived or trained. And so they were going to apply that money to a medical unit, the intensive care unit, and they wanted to name that particular wing of the hospital because she donated so much after her. But instead of calling it Street Intensive Care Unit, they called it Peekaboo ICU. I went a long way for that, didn't I? I'm on number five. He cares. So in 1 Corinthians 12, now ye are the body of Christ. So we need to care for our body parts, for one another. Number two, the rest of these are found in Galatians chapter 5. All of them in the same chapter. In verse 13, it says, by love, serve one another. So in love, serve. You reverse that. Loving service means serve out of love and love to serve. If I could do anything, I'd like to motivate people to grasp that attitude. To love to serve. Not just serve, but love to do it. And so definition, love, actions and words that seek the benefit of others. If you love, you desire someone else's well-being. If you love another, it means there's a demonstration that cares and that reaches out. So with the attitude, what can I do for you? What do you need? How can I help? Those kinds of words. It's more than just a shout out that says, I love you, but you never show it. Oh, how do I know you love? No, it's action. It's demonstrated love. For Christians, our source of love is God and His love for us. Our motivation to serve is more than just because, oh, I'm a nice guy. I want to be benevolent. I want to be community-minded. Yeah, but in Christianity, there's another motivation. There's a bedrock upon which we stand that moves us to be loving and to care. In 1 John 4, verse 7, beloved, let's love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. See, God did more than just shout out from heaven, you know, guys, I love you. No, He showed it. When God so loved the world, He gave. It's love is said and done. You say it and you do it. Love. And then the idea of serve. Serve one another in love. It means to be a waiter. A good waiter. every door. I had a waiter one time that I didn't care for at all. Now, we're looking at the best of these illustrations. A good waiter means to function or to perform for. If we're going to serve one another, it means to satisfy the requirements. If we're going to serve, it means do. Serve means assist. Serve means carry out our duty. Serve means be a helper. Serve. In the military, if you serve your country, you know, in the best definition of that, in the best of ideal, you performed your duty as charged. You served. And then verse 14, but then you know it's guest. Says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. I've got the whole verse. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I know when I first wrote that down, I said, wait a minute, that's seven words, but the verse says it's one word. But the one word is love. Love. And even that's the law. And in Matthew 22, remember the one that came to Jesus said, what's the great commandment? Jesus said, in one word, love. It includes loving God and loving your neighbor. So it's more than just, even when he said, what's the great commandment? Jesus added another to it. And a second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So love is serving. And that's what we're called upon here. By love, serve one another. In Galatians 6, verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Law. I thought we were under grace. Law of Christ. James 1:25 says, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. The perfect law? Law in the New Testament? Oh. In James 2, verse 8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. A royal law? Now here's five words. Law, great commandment, law of Christ, law of liberty, royal law. That went to grace. But Jesus also said in John 14, verse 15, he said, love me, keep my commandments. Something to do. And it's interesting that Paul uses those words because many times he's trying to convince his audience to leave the law, and yet he uses those same words in the relationship to God and Christ and one another. Serve and love and law. Oh. So it's interesting that Paul would spend so much time, especially with these Galatian brethren, in that. It's interesting in verse 1, and I'm going to rush through these last ones. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again to the yoke of bondage, but yet we view our loving service as liberty, but not slavery to the old law, but to God and to Christ and to one another. It's just interesting to look at the words, how it's used concerning the Old Testament, and yet there's a law in the New Testament. These last ones, these last four, are all in the negative. But yet they describe our relationship. And so many times I would like to say, oh, let's stay on the positive. Let's talk about loving one another, serving one another, look out for one another, all those, those pleasing sounding words and positive side of it. But look at this next one. Galatians 5, verse 15. And I'll read the entire verse. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of the other or another. So that's the opposite of verse 13. By love, serve one another. He said, now don't bite. Don't devour. Be careful because when you do that, you might be consumed of one another. Interesting phrase. And I know what the word bite means. I did look it up too. Just to get a good dictionary definition. But it describes the wounding, and that's a dictionary word, the wounding effect of their continual Paul is describing that wounding effect because of the controversies these Galatians were kept stirring up. And the word bite means you're going to cut with the teeth. But if you're going to bite, it means you're going to hurt in a sharp manner. If you're going to bite, one of the other dictionary definitions was your sarcastic or a caustic remark. You bite. And then he mentions along with it, bite and devour. So now he's warning about the destructiveness of biting. Because he says, and when you devour, you consume. You eat greedily. If you devour something, you gobble up or you gobble it down. But you devour, you gobble it. You ruin. Another word was deplete. Destroy all. Devour. But this is the warning here. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. You see, in this congregation in Galatia, this congregation, there were troublers in the congregation over circumcision. But it doesn't matter what the problem is. If there's just a problem with relationships or with the way things are done, and somebody just wants to stir things up, that would fit this context. And that's what these troublers were doing to these congregations in Galatia. They kept things stirred up. They were contentious. They always caused a commotion. And because of their, and I say continuous contention, continuous, I mean they wouldn't just let it lay, and wouldn't get it resolved. Because of that, hard feelings began to develop in the congregation there in Galatia. And then they began to taunt each other, you know, hurl those horrible words at each other. Then tempers began to flare, angry words were said, factions started, they began to choose sides and bite each other and devour, not literally, but that's the words that are used to describe it. Paul says, don't do that. They started showing their fleshly side or their temperament. They started showing the old man that was supposed to be put away, and they were supposed to put on the new man. So he says, take heed that you're not consumed by one another. Reference to something as being consumed by fire, you know, engulfed. Paul presents a vision for a Christian living or a cure. A cure. And these are in your notes. But verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust thereof, or the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the part that says, this is what I want to do. Then he, if you notice, in the next verses 19 through 21, I put those in those. So, but in the next verses, he talks, this is what the fleshly attitude looks like. And he gives you these works of the flesh. And he says, conclude, those that practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't bite and devour. You'll be consumed of one another. And so then he says that this is what we should do or should have, and that's the fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. And then he comes back in verses 24 and 25. They that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. It means we surrender to the authority and guidance of the Scriptures. We walk in the Spirit and we live in the Spirit. We walk by the rule of the Spirit, the message. So, don't bite. Lots of warnings, don't bite. Number four, don't become vainglorious. Means self-conceit, vanity, haughty, excessive ambition. In other words, don't be proud of things that don't accomplish salvation. In this audience that Paul is talking about, he says somebody, oh, I'm a Hebrew. Well, that's good, but that doesn't forgive you sins. Don't be vainglorious of what you have or what you think you have that doesn't accomplish salvation. Your property, your status. Don't become so proud of that. It's vain glory. Glory that's vain. Reverse the words. In other words, you're glorying in something that is empty. Like our heritage. Things like that. Or social standing, or your learning, your education. Don't do that. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 7, what things were gained to me? You know, all that Old Testament heritage and knowledge, credentials that Paul had, those I counted loss for Christ. They didn't accomplish salvation. Forgiveness of sins. Number 5, Galatians 5, verse 26, again, then not provoking one another. Provoke means to arouse to a strong feeling or action. To excite, you provoke somebody. You to fire them up. Stimulate. Inflame was one of the words in the dictionary. Kindle. Induce. Move. Trigger. I like that. To provoke somebody. Trigger. Activate. Now we want to be, we want to provoke to love and good works. Hebrews 10 verse 24. Sometimes people just want to provoke. We're to provoke to love, provoke to good works. So Paul takes the negative in this side. He just says, not provoking one another. Then the last one, number 6, not envying one another. Envying, dictionary definition, a painful awareness of another's possessions or advantages and a desire to have them too. Typically, we want to have them at their loss. It's envy. Envy carries that idea with it. It's more than just an attitude. It's an attitude that moves you to a wrong action. That's envy. Jealousy, right, is a neighbor to it. But envy just is not going to stand alone. I'm either going to say something or I'm going to do something because what somebody else has that I don't. And I don't want them to have it, but I want it. So it is, it's covetousness, jealousy, resentment. Look what they have. Oh, so Paul says, no, don't envy one another. So I put in your notes, instead of painful awareness of another's possessions, remember, let's rejoice with those who rejoice. And that's one of the verses. You know, when one member suffers, we all suffer with it. It's serve one another in loving service with one another, having that same care for all of us, each of us. So that's the lesson. Next, 2 weeks from tonight, I think the next one is in Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. We'll look at that one next week. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Anyone here this evening, you're not a member of the New Testament church. You're not a Christian. You haven't been baptized before you missed a sin. We can accomplish that this evening. Simply need to let your desire be known. We sing a song of invitation. Give you time to reflect on that decision. And so let's stand together.